America leads the world in medicine development. It matters. We get new medicines first, nearly 3 years faster. 5 million Americans go to work because we make medicines here at home. And not relying on other countries keeps us safe. But China is racing to overtake us. Will we let them, or will we choose to stay ahead? When America leads, America cures. Let's tell Washington to keep us in the lead.
Learn how at americacures.com. Paid for by Pharma.
And welcome back. It is another edition of Inside Boxing Live presented by PPV.com. It is Dan Canobio. It is Chris Algieri. We're back in your life. We had a little bit of a hiatus last weekend. I was planning on coming to right in my hometown here in New York City. Keyshawn Davis and Baranchik was going to do the whole fight week. Going to hang out with Chris. Going to go to the Keen's Steakhouse. Going to have a grand old week. And then I came down with the flu. COVID. Felt like I got freaking 15 rounds with Tyson. I was out of commission, my friend, but now I'm back. Dan,
Chris, you're the only guy who I know who gets COVID 25. Like, what's going on here? And your timing is awful.
I'm pretty sure it was COVID because day four, couldn't taste anything. Couldn't taste any food. Couldn't taste any. I was just like, now I got my taste back. Getting ready for like this big fight week. The vid,
unfortunately,
right?
we're gonna get pulled from YouTube now because we said COVID in the first 30 seconds. So we're gonna get demonetized now. You can't say bad
Chris,
words.
Where are you?
I'm in Jamestown, California. I am at the Chicken Ranch Casino Resort for ProBox TV. We fight on Wednesday night. I took a plane, a train, an automobile to get here. It's all day. My first fight was at 6:15 a.m. and you know, now it's 4:30 here. A lot of moving around. A lot of moving parts.
The Chicken Bacon Ranch Hotel, which is one of my favorite.
Wendy's Burgers. Yeah, I'm gonna get the Chicken Bacon Ranch.
I like that at Subway. The Chicken Bacon Ranch sandwich.
Dude, don't eat Subway.
Come on. Back in the day, I used to eat Subway. That's probably why I keep getting COVID.
You messed up your genes with the Subway. Ooh.
Well, my immune system sucks. I thought I had a strong immune system. And then we tried to do the show on Sunday. We usually tape the show Sunday. Yeah. And so it could come out Monday, especially after a busy fight weekend that we had on Saturday night. And then my internet in my building is just shit on yesterday. So now we're coming to you a day late. So everyone, I appreciate bearing with us, when it's just part of the gig.
I don't know about you, Dan. I got some messages. People are asking what's going on. When are we talking about this topic? When we talk about that topic? So I get it. People are chopping at the bit, man. They want to hear what we have to say.
Yeah, this episode's brought to you by PPV.com. We are almost 10, 12 days away from Gervonta Davis versus Lamont Roach, which you can stream on PPV.com. Crystal clear stream to your TV, your tablet, your phone, anywhere you want to watch it. Join me, Chris, Jim Lampley, Lance Pugmire in the live interactive chat. We're going to be doing a ton of content in the lead up. It's here in New York City. I'm very pumped for that. It's at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. So we're going to do a ton of content in the lead up. We're going to try to link up with Tank, talk to him, Lamont Roach, Albert Puelo, Sandor Martin, Jose Venezuela, Gary Russell Jr. It's a lot of good fighters on this card, Chris.
Yeah, man. March 1st is going to be a great card. We're going to be there all access. You have some kind of special in access to Tank himself. You see him at CVS randomly. so maybe we'll get some more viral interactions between you two late night out the ice cream section of CVS.
Bro, we'll see. He's hit or miss, man. I mean, he could look at you one day and he want to give you all the answers in the world, and the next day he'd be like, I don't want to talk to you at all. Like that's the allure.
That's a fighter though, dude. Like you gotta catch us in at the right mode, right time. Listen, you put some ice cream in a guy's hand when he's cutting weight, he's gonna be a lot more loose with the lips in terms of giving you some information.
Yeah, maybe we'll see him.
Maybe we should bring him ice cream actually to the interview.
That's right. That's a good idea. With Canelo, we brought him the tracksuit.
Mm-hmm.
Now with
fighters like gifts.
SpongeBob ice cream. Bro, the lightweight division right now. March 1st, PPV.com. Join us. We'll have a lot more information on that. Lightweight division right now will be the first topic of our episode today. It's buzzing right now. Red hot.
Red hot.
Keyshawn Davis stops Dennis Baranchik body shots, fourth round. Took him out, man. Just didn't even play with his food. Baranchik fought like a drunk. And I'm not going to say that this was Baranchik looking bad. I'm going to say this was Keyshawn Davis pretty much taking away all of his game plan, taking away any of his strengths, his awkwardness. Chris, I would say, are you shocked? I don't think you are shocked because Keyshawn is that damn good.
Yeah, no, all of fight week. I was calling the fight with Christina Poncha on the International for Top Rank. I actually hosted the weigh-in as well. So I got a lot of time around each and all the fighters that were on that card. And Keyshawn was just saying exactly what happened. Like he told everyone what was going to happen. He's like, yo, he's like, I'm too good for this guy. Yeah, he's not even awkward. He's like, he said his style is a mistake. What a great line. He goes, he's not awkward. His style's a mistake. He steps the wrong way, punches the wrong way, moves the wrong way, leaves with his head. He's like, everything's wrong. He's like, and he's look, watch what I'm going to do to him. He's like, and then he's like, I saw how small he was. And he's like, I don't even have to box this guy. I can just go out there and literally just beat him up. I don't need him to think. I can go out there and just beat him up. He's so small. And as soon as they interact, they connected in that first round, and Keyshawn threw him to the canvas in the first opening minute of the fight, I could literally see Baranchik's eyes from ringside, and I was like, oh, this fight's over. He looked like, oh, man, this guy's way too big and strong and way too good. And he pretty much checked out from there on out.
Wow. And he came on our show, and he was kind of very dismissive of Baranchik.
Yeah, he was all week,
too. One-handed fighter. You know, he only throws that right hand. He's got nothing in that. His footwork sucks. I mean, he just showed that on Friday night at MSG. And now it's Keyshawn is I told you guys, this is going to be the year of Keyshawn Davis. Not a crazy proclamation. It's not the hottest of hot takes. But, man, this guy burst onto the scene. Was it his 14th fight? He becomes a world champion. He's on a very short list of guys to win a title that quickly.
Tied with Oscar De La Hoya, the only other one with 14 fights.
Right, Lomachenko probably did it the fastest.
Lomachenko was 12
at lightweight, not at lightweight though. But
right. So this is only considered that stat that ESPN actually had at was only for lightweights, because Lomachenko won his first title at four or five fights, right?
Yeah, yeah, and that wasn't lightweight though. But lightweight is such a storied weight class. So that's pretty cool. I know there's four different belts now, and it's a lot easier to become a world champion, but it's still cool nonetheless. But, man, I don't know what happened with Baranchik. That was tough. It makes you really wonder what the heck happened with Navarrete. Like, those two went at it.
I looked at it like what it was. Navarrete had never fought a 35. One of I don't want to diss Navarrete in terms of his skills, but – you know, he's a bit of a weight bully. He's normally the bigger guy. He throws a ton of punches. When he fought Oscar Valdez, he's just bigger and badder and meaner. And that didn't carry over to lightweights. I always say lightweight, 135, everything changes. That's when guys start to get big. If the 130 and below, it's like, yeah, those are the smaller guys. Once you get to lightweight, it's a whole different world. And that was obvious for Navarrete. And Navarrete wasn't fighting a big 35-pounder either, but he was fighting a natural 135-pounder. And he just didn't have it that night. And the awkwardness got to him. Not being able to be a weight bully got to him. And the role's completely reversed here, because Keyshawn is a big lightweight. And he was just way too strong, way too good for Baranchik.
What I love, too, about Davis is since he's linked up with BOMAC, he kind of fights – a lot like Crawford. Like, he uses that really long length. He uses his size. He's calculated in there. He's never off balance. He has a great jab. He was throwing that jab early and often, and it really helps to be that much bigger and have that much of a size advantage over his opponents, especially Baranchik on Friday night. But, man, that link up with BOMAC has been unbelievable. There's nothing really to talk about in this fight because it was just over so quick, and it was just
so definitive.
I'm happy it ended how it ended, and I'm happy it was so definitive because, yes, knockouts sell, and it just hypes up Keyshawn Davis even more. We need American stars and all that. But, like, that fight could have been really ugly. Like, there were so many holds. There was so much holding. There were so many tie-ups.
Headbutts. Like, oh. That fight could have ended in no contest, absolutely, with a headbutt. Because even that night, I mean, as awkward as Baranchik always is, he was extra awkward. Like you said, he's fighting like a drunk guy, leading with his head, elbows, a lot of pushing, moving, but again, as we said, Keyshawn was so much bigger and he's being so physical. Like you said, that Crawford style where he puts a hand on you and posts and moves you around, he's gotten much more physical since working with BOMAC. And we really saw that on display with a much smaller Berancic. But yeah, I agree. I'm happy that ended that way that it would, because that fight could have got ugly if it went on longer too. So the way that it ended was perfect.
I love that he has this knockout streak. Love that he has this mean streak in him, and that really helps. It helps marketability. Top Rank is fully in on this guy. I would say he is the number one asset right now at Top Rank, especially with Teofimo being a crazy lunatic. We'll talk about him in a second, and you know, Tyson Fury on the way out. You got to figure Keyshawn Davis is Top Rank's number one asset as they move forward, as potentially looking for a new broadcast home. They're going to say, hey, we got this kid who's 25. He's very marketable. He does great interviews. He's very personable, and he's a damn good fighter, and he knocks people out. That always helps. And thank goodness that he ended this one early, so there's no debate, and we can start banging the drum for some big fights at 135. I think we'll stick around 135 for a while. Now, the titleists at 135 are now Keyshawn Davis, WBO. You have WBA is Gervonta Davis, who fights next weekend. You have Shakur Stevenson, who fights this weekend, who has a WBC belt. And you have Lomachenko, who has the IBF. This is a freaking great foursome right there. That is just names. Those are talented fighters. They all fight different. Will they all fight each other? It's the main question, Chris.
Ultimately, that's the question, right? Because we've got so many badasses in there. You know, it unfortunately, from what we're hearing from both camps, I don't think we're ever going to see Shakur and Keyshawn, or at least at lightweight. Might see them at a higher weight class when the money really gets crazy. But for right now, it seems doesn't seem like either one of them want to fight each other because they're friends and they train together, or they have trained together. And the Tank Keyshawn fight is looking more and more possible. It's looking more and more likely down the line. It's one of those fights that people are going to clamor for so much that it could force the action. But I think next in line is the Lomachenko fight, if he decides to keep fighting, because you've got the storyline now where Lomachenko, who's also a titleist, you know, a unification fight that he never got he was never undisputed Lomachenko. That was the one thing that he wanted to do in his career that he wasn't able to. But also he could avenge his Ukrainian brethren and teammates loss to Keyshawn. You know, his embarrassing loss to Keyshawn. So there's that storyline as well. Plus, it's like the old guard versus the new kid. I don't know. There's a lot of storylines there, and I think it makes a lot of sense. If Lomachenko wants to fight.
Right. Get this guy out of mothballs. Get him out of retirement. Sweeten the pot a little bit. I would say in order of most likely, the least likely in terms of the champions for Keyshawn Davis next, I would say Loma is most likely. Tank 2, Shakur 3. The Shakur thing, I could see them just constantly, like, one guy moves up, like, them coordinating that. Because it's more than them just being friends. Like, I've heard, you probably heard this too, being around them all week or hearing some stories. Like, Keyshawn Davis is not shy about telling you about his mental health struggles. And they put him in a straitjacket, and they took him in an ambulance, like, three hours. He was telling our guy, what's his name, Kriegel. And the guy that picked me up, you know, Keyshawn said, the kid that, you know, my friend that came to my aid and was there for me throughout all that, no one else really was Shakur Stevenson. So it isn't more than just them training. It isn't more than them just being, like, they seem like to have, like, a really, really close bond. And that's tough, man. Like, I see people tweeting to me all the time, like, oh, why aren't you calling for Shakur and Keyshawn, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay, why don't you fight your best friend? Like they don't want to do it. So, like, until they're forced to do it, they're not going to do it right now.
It's like when people were asking for Vitaly Klitschko to fight Vladimir. It's like, dude, they're brothers. And that's what we kind of got when we spoke to these guys over the weekend. Even Terrence Crawford said, he was like, yo, it felt like my little brother just won a world title. You know, that's how close those guys are in that gym. And it shows. I mean, BOMAC is like, he's like everybody's uncle. He's everybody's dad. You know, they have a really, really tight gym culture in there where everyone, they all support each other. Like, Terrence, Bud was there all week. He was there at the weigh-in.
No one gets around like Bud. No one gets around like Bud Crawford.
Well, he's following his team. You know, like he's either marketing himself and his future and picking fights with Eddie Hearn, or he's following his teammates. You know, he was there for Steven Nelson. Like, these guys have a different kind of brotherhood. So I agree with your assessment. We don't see that fight for a number of reasons, and they're actually good reasons.
I think they're going to really try to get Lomachenko and really push for him this year and say, hey, you don't want the tank fight. That's fine. You know, this Keyshawn Davis fight, we can, you know, make it on our terms, make it a little bit easier, sweeten the pot for you. We'll see, because I think that's going to be a really good fight. That's a great summer fight. That's a great late summer fight in here in the States, ESPN pay-per-view, whatever. Put it on the regular ESPN, put it wherever Top Rank may be by late summer. Now, the Javante Davis fight. That's the one I really want to see. That's the one I was pushing for. That's the one that a lot of fans have been asking for. Javante Davis versus Keyshawn Davis. You know, we're talking about this void in the U.S. market with all these fights moving over to Saudi. Here is your U.S. mega fight this summer or early fall. You have Keyshawn versus Tank. You do it. PBC and Top Rank were so close at the one-yard line to make Tank and Lomachenko before Loma wanted to step away for a second. So revisit it again. Talk to each other. Al Haymon, Bob Arum, Todd DeBuff, all the powers that be over PBC and Top Rank, and make that fight happen. Or at least explore it. Like, I'm not that hopeful, but explore it.
Yeah, I mean, explore open, it, lines of open the lines of communication. You know, that's all we ask for, because, you know, these are good fights that can, that really can be made. It's crazy, man. I didn't really care for the Keyshawn Davis, Tank Davis fight 6 months ago. Keyshawn's an entirely different guy now. How rare is it that we see a guy who steps up in class and becomes more devastating as a puncher? That almost never happens. It's usually the other way around, right? You see a guy early on in his career. All right, I got to bring up the great one, the other Norfolk, Virginia fighter, Pernell Whitaker. Pernell Whitaker had knockouts early on, but then as he stepped up in class, he became much more of a boxer, more defensive guy. Wasn't getting those knockouts anymore, unless you bring up the Diabella-Sertado fight, which he had to pull out of the fire when he got dropped several times early on and then had to score a late-round knockout, which, you know, Whitaker was never known for. But Keyshawn, man, the better the opposition in front of him, the better he is, and the more devastating of a puncher he is. That doesn't happen. So this guy has really reinvented himself and has put himself into the spotlight. And in my eyes, like making that Davis fight, it's like, dude, I want to see it now, and I want to see it sooner than later. I don't need this to be seasoned all that much.
No,
we can make this fight. No, it
doesn't need to be seasoned. He's ready. I have, BJ Flores, out of all people, is tweeting at me like, no, he ain't ready, bro. Who, 13 fights? He just beat a 36-year-old. I'm like, bro, who is ready for Tank? Like, was Rowley ready? No. Was Frank Martin ready? No. Was Isaac Cruz ready? No. Is Lamont Roach going to be ready? Most likely not. Like, who is technically, quote unquote, ready for Tank Davis? We're living in an
also,
era.
Who's ready? Who was the other way around? Like, when Tank was coming up, was he ready for Pedraza when he fought him?
You just make the damn fight. We're living in the era where these fights are happening. Look at this upcoming weekend in Saudi Arabia. I think we're past that marination, and we're just making the fights, and we're letting the chips fall where they may, and we're seeing who emerges, and whoever loses, it's not the end of the world anymore. If Keyshawn did lose to Tank, he's 25 years old. He'd be right back in it. I'm curious because he's now a champion. I said things were going to change on February 17th. When the if you win this fight and you're now a champion, so now not only is he just like a contender or a guy, you could fight Tank one day. Now you have a shiny piece of accomplishment. You have a belt, and Tank has a belt. And I don't care what Tank says. I'm sure the guy, he wants the big names now, and he's ready for those big names after Lamont Roach. The only thing I can see preventing this, putting on my businessman hat, as the businessman Keyshawn Davis, is big time rumors coming out over last week about Top Rank. This has been going on for about a year now. Top Rank potentially, Top Rank and ESPN potentially parting ways. And Top Rank is going to be looking for a new broadcast home come mid to late July. And I was just talking about how Keyshawn Davis is the main asset right now for Top Rank. He is a big part of their future plans. Now, when you're a promotion and you're shopping around different broadcast homes, you go to a Netflix, you go to an Amazon, you go to a DAZN and say, this is what we have. We have this fighter. We have Abdullah Mason.
Yeah, you have Emiliano, a portfolio.
Right. You have Emiliano Vargas. We got Emmanuel Navarrete. And we got Keyshawn Davis. So are they going to put Keyshawn Davis potentially in the ring with Tank Davis in the middle of a negotiation for the new broadcast zone, before broadcast zone? Probably not.
No.
Because that just wouldn't make sense. Like, we're seeing the UFC do that. That's why Conor McGregor, one of the reasons why he hasn't stepped into the ring or the octagon in years is because UFC is also potentially looking for a new broadcast home, and they have McGregor for two more fights. So they're not going to, you know, burn him and have him for one more fight, get more money out of you or whoever.
They also don't want him to lose again. It's not, he's not a shiny piece of negotiating coin if he's got another loss on his belt. And the guy hasn't won a fight in, I don't know, 7 years. So you want to have him being 0-6 and going into.
He's out of his fucking mind, bro. I just watched the clip of him promote the BKFC in Italy. He came in and with a marching band and.
He's so over the top. So over the top.
Great promoter. Not much of a fighter anymore. But I could see that potentially being a roadblock. I could see Top Rank. They're in
But it wouldn't happen that fast anyway, Dan. You're talking about, they're looking for this broadcast partner or a new network, rather, in the summertime. We're not getting this fight before the summer. Tank's got Roach coming up in a couple days. Tank's
September.
Tank's not going to fight again until September, October, maybe even December. You know how Tank, whatever Tank date gets announced always goes 2 months later anyway. So we might not even see Tank again until December, which then that fight could actually make sense.
I've heard Tank wants to fight three times.
He said that last year. He says that before.
I've heard from some PBC people.
But Dan, look at this fight. This fight was supposed to happen in December. We're now going into March.
You can't. It's really hard to fight three times in a year and start in March. You got to start in January, and you got to have your second fight in April or May. I don't know if Tank disposes of Roach, which I don't think he will. I think it's gonna be a lot of trickier fight than people are thinking. If he gets, I don't know. If he powers through and gets him out of there in three or four, who knows? But I'm not optimistic about a Tank versus Keyshawn fight. But I do think it's on the radar now.
And it's very fun to talk about.
List. It is fun to talk about. And we're talking about how we want some fights in Vegas, right? We want to, what are the American promoters out there? Well, the American promoters are PBC and Top Rank. And you have two really, really marketable guys right now in their primes with belts that I know a lot of people would travel out to Vegas for in the summer or fall. I know a lot of people would fork down the money to watch Tank fight Keyshawn Davis. That would be pretty damn cool. Another fight, Chris.
Wait, real quick, Dan. One thing that we touch on enough when we talk about these younger fighters fighting each other at their primes, it allows for rematches and rubber matches. Back in the day, guys used to fight each other often because they fought really young. Like Leonard Duran, Leonard and Hearns, they fought multiple times because they fought young. And that's where losing doesn't matter as much because you fight them again. You get another shot. And with these guys, they wait so long, like Floyd and Manny, Pacquiao Mayweather, they could have had a couple fights, but they waited till they were late 30s to fight. And then you're not gonna rematch them now, especially because the fight wasn't that good. I think we missed an opportunity to get all-time great fights and matchups because these guys don't fight. Each other young.
Right, yeah.
One point that I was thinking about more over time that we don't really touch on.
It makes all the sense in the world because these guys should all look at each other like the four kings, quote unquote, should all have looked at each other already and said we could fight each other for the next 5-6 years, and just
each other
and laugh to the bank,
gang of money,
laugh right to the bank. Keyshawn Davis potentially versus Raymond Moritaya Abdullayev winner, who are fighting on May 10th. This is an IBF interim fight. It's an all top rank fight for that one. Moritaya, could have potentially stepped in and fought Baranchik. He's now going the IBF route. That's another option for Keyshawn Davis. Also, Keyshawn went on our friend Ariel Helwani's show today and said he wants to fight Isak Cruz. He said a Mexican versus a black fighter would be wild. I don't see that. He's at 140. I think Cruz should go down to 135. I like the Moritaya Abdullayev winner for Keyshawn next, potentially.
Isak Cruz is not going to fight Keyshawn Davis. They've made it pretty clear that they're going to fight certain kinds of guys only, and it's not going to be a long boxer with power. So that fight doesn't make a whole lot of sense for Isak Cruz.
Isak Cruz should fight that Fierro guy forever.
Yeah, just they can fight three times. That's great.
I think they're going to try to make that rematch.
Yeah, I think that's where he's at anyway in terms of Isak Cruz. When you're looking at these guys at 140, I don't see him tangling with the top-notch guys anymore. The Moritaya fight I like. I liked it before. I thought it was a good fight until this past weekend. Now I'm like, oof, Keyshawn is just looks like he's on a different level. But shoot, we make the fight. Let him try. Muay Thai is solid, really solid.
Yeah, he's good. He's very good. And there's options for Keyshawn. He can make a voluntary defense. There are bigger names out there. He's 25, man. He's a very young champion. This is an exciting time. I like the kid. I'm really excited to see where his career goes.
We're going to be dealing with him for a long time, so you better
unless
like him,
he, yeah. I like him unless he goes the route of my next topic here and loses his mind. I'm Teofimo Lopez. Dude, this fight week got off to such a weird start with this watermelon banana racial act that Joe Tessitore brought up on the air 3 or 4 times. By now, you saw what was sent to Keyshawn's door, businesswoman, the broken handwriting. You know, they pretty much say it wasn't Baranchik. Then you have Teofimo Lopez put out a video where he's eating a banana. And
like
he's
instantly,
laughing.
By the way. That video came out like right away.
He is just such an idiot. Like he just looked so dumb in that video, Teofimo. It wasn't funny. Like it's not clever. Like it's not like sophisticated, intelligent trash talk. It's just lowbrow, like overt racism that I understand is a part of boxing. It's an ethnic sport. You don't have to tell me. I made the mistake of tweeting about this, which is pissing into the wind. Boxing fans and combat sport fans, they don't care about racism, but he just looked dumb, Teofimo. Like it's not funny. Like this isn't the first time too. Like he's brought up the monkeys. He's brought up the bananas. He's brought up about Crawford trying to get his attention. I just think it's not intelligent. Like he makes him look like an absolute fool. Does nothing for his image.
Well, he hasn't taken, you know, credit for this, which, you know, I was talking to our guy, the Magic Man, Paul Malignaggi, and he's like, yo, if you're gonna do something like that, might as well take credit for it, because
right, where you dancing around it.
If you're gonna go out there, just might as well put it out there completely, like, yo, I did this. You know, I was in fight week, you know, obviously when this was going down, and man, I'm looking at Baranchik, I'm like, this guy did not do this, and he said flat out he didn't do this. Keyshawn Davis even said in his fighter meeting at the end of it, he was like, yeah, I actually don't think they did it. I was hot at the moment. It just didn't make sense to think that Baranchik would do that. One, the guy doesn't speak English. And to have a nuanced derogatory slur about American food, you know, like a watermelon, a banana, which is supposed to equate to, you know, it didn't make sense for someone whose English isn't their first language to understand really the nuance of that crude joke. But also it's just his reaction. He was like, no, I didn't do that. And his whole team, they were like Vozdik was in his with his team, and they're all there. And just, I didn't get that vibe at all from that group of guys who seemed like they were pretty solid and respectful. Just a weird, whatever that thing was, whatever that stunt was.
There's something about Top Rank and
yeah, these
MSG
weird
theater.
Stunts. Michaela Mayer, you know, yeah. Paint Gate. And Sandy Ryan getting hit with red paint, like on the way. And she was really shook up about that. You know, this one was a little different because it was going the other way. And Keyshawn used it to get mad, actually. And just, I think, used it more as fuel for good Sandy.
You're not
gonna
shake him.
I think that buzzed Sandy quite a bit when she got with that
game. She was look rattled. You're not going to shake Keyshawn. The guy's been through too much. But back to Teofimo, I think he's such an idiot. And he just looks so dumb. And he's so delusional. Like he talks about how, like, oh, I met with Bob Iger, CEO of Disney, and I'm bringing Nesquik to boxing, and he'll tag all these like major brands. Like I'm bringing Bud Light. I'm the guy who brought Bud Light to Top Rank. I'm working with major brands. Then he goes and eats a banana on social media. Like, bro, they ain't working with you. Number one. Yeah. Number two, it also was like, if this was an NFL player, if this was an MLB player, if this was any other major sport athlete doing something like that, trying to pull off some type of racial joke like that, it'd be fined. Like top news.
Yeah.
It'd be fined. It'd be top news. It'd be like, oh, like blank player does racist thing. You'd see it all over the place. It just gets swept under the rug. No one even like blinks. I saw Boxing Scene wrote a story on it today that it could potentially stop him from getting fights. You know, there's a lot of black fighters saying we're not giving him a fight. We'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. That's not going to happen.
It's just part. I understand it's part of the fabric of boxing. I like it's one of the most ethnic sports in the world. You put an Irish guy in there against a black guy. You put a Mexican in there against a Puerto Rican, and we all come together. And we usually, for the most part, I would say the last so on years, there hasn't really been like racial divides in fights. They haven't really. I think it's the lowest hanging fruit in a boxing promotion is to stoop down to the level of racism. The promoters don't do it. Like the fighters might. But I don't see the promoters doing it unless things are really hurting. Like Wilder and Fury kind of teetered on the edge of that, but it never really did. Yeah, but I don't know.
They don't do it outwardly. I mean, they used to, like, you know,
Jerry Cooney.
I was gonna say, Gentleman Jerry Cooney, who was actually at the fight on Friday night. I got to see him quickly. Got the chat. You know, he was the great quote unquote great white hype. You know, or the great white hope. And that fight with Larry Holmes, there was a lot of racial undertones for that fight.
Oh my
and
God,
I think I think there often is, you know, but it's under the wraps and it's not pushed out as you know, obvious by the promoters as it might have been back in the day, because it's just not really accepted anymore. But it's a real thing. It's a very, very real thing. Race does play a major role in the sport, like you said, is very ethnic. And whether guys come out openly and say it, you know, which is obviously we're seeing right here, it's still a thing.
Oh, for sure. Like, I'm not naive enough to be like, oh my God, I cannot believe that with these. I understand it's also boxing. Like, this is a sport where you go in the ring and you batter each other's brains. And if people would tell me, oh, well, they'll just settle it in the ring. That's not the point. Like the sport, like, loses respect, like, on a weekly basis. Like, let's just try to limit the overt racism and the eating bananas. Like, is that really what the sport has come to? Like, in terms of building up your persona to
listen,
you know?
Like, I don't like it, but I'm old school. Like you said, all right, let's just settle in the ring. Like, all right, I'm off. These guys saying you're not going to fight him now, I'm not going to give him the opportunity. Shut up. Go kick his ass. Go punch him in his fucking mouth. That's the beautiful thing about this sport. You can, yo, this guy, so and so, is being racist. Okay, cool. Go punch him in his mouth. You're allowed to do that while making millions of dollars. So let's just do that. Let's get back to that. Let's get back to whooping people's asses in the ring.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. It's the beauty. That is the beauty of boxing. Like, is Teofimo's like supposed to be fighting Keyshawn Davis? Is he pressed by Keyshawn Davis? Like, this would be like, if I was Keyshawn, I'd be like almost flattered if Teofimo did this. I'm not saying he did it, but
right.
Like,
yeah, we keep alluding to him that he did it. We don't know that. We don't know who did it.
Right. Like, but if Teofimo did this or was part of, like, the mastermind behind it, if I was Keyshawn, I'd be like, why is this guy so like worried about me? Like, I'm obviously must be doing something right. You know, I'm the now the golden boy of Top Rank, sort of say, where Teofimo was.
Well, yeah, you're right. It doesn't make sense. T.O. is at 40, and he's been calling out 47-pounders, and Keyshawn just got a title at 35, and there's no reason for him to move up because he's got a ton of dance partners, and none of them include Teofimo Lopez.
I just think his whole act is weird. I think Teofimo's trying way too hard to be like a crazy person right now.
I just
like
wish
he's like,
he would fight more. Because he's
that's
so
I mean.
Damn good.
I love watching. Listen, and that's, I'm glad you said that too, because I've. It's a really hard thing to separate the fighter from the person. Like, I've done a pretty good job of that over the last couple of years. Like, Teofimo, a lot of these guys.
Yeah, separate the art from the artist, Dan.
That's what I mean. Like, these guys come from way checkered past. They come from nothing. They come from rough backgrounds. I understand all that. And they're going to say things that are unsavory. They're going to do things that are, you know, out of line and all that. But I still have to cover the sport. Like, I love Teofimo Lopez inside the ring. Like, he is unreal. Like, I want to see him fight Hitchens. Mm-hmm. I want to see him fight Haney. I want to see him fight Boots. All of them. Like, I love watching
him fight. And I want to see him get paid.
All that.
Yeah.
But, like, when I see him do stuff like that, it's just like, ugh, bro. Like, you're just setting the sport
up. Allegedly. Allegedly do
no, I'm
like
talking
that.
About the I'm talking about the biting of the video.
Oh, the video, yeah.
Video is just like so crazy. Like, I watched
it's very crude. Very, very crude.
I'm like, what are you it's not even funny. Like, it's not even remotely funny. It's just so dumb. Okay, moving on. Xander Zayas, I thought looked great. This is a kid, Chris, that is really coming on well and really putting his career together, some momentum. Gets a nice stoppage over previously unbeaten Slala Spammer, who was the German undefeated fighter. Zayas gets a stoppage, co-main event on ESPN. Now he's looking at the names at 154. He's calling out Sebastian Fundora. I thought this was like a really nice win. Gets the stoppage, which I think was really important for Zayas.
Yes. I was on the plane coming in here with Xander's trainer, Javier Centeno, and you know, we were talking about the fight and, you know, about how important it was for him to actually get that stoppage. And yeah, Xander, you know, Xander is a boxer. You know, he's not the biggest puncher. You know, he goes out there, but getting this stoppage was really important because if they would have went the distance, I was worried about the flack he would have got. I know people are giving him flack anyway, but I thought he looked good. I agree with you. I was impressed with his use of the jab. Spomer was, he came out really awkwardly. He wasn't in the first round. I think he was just really caught by the lights. But he found himself in the next couple of rounds. But Xander had already gotten into cruise control, was keeping that jab pumping. He landed a good right hand on Xander, I think in round four, that rocked him. But then Xander tightened up and went back to work, got work behind his jab. And Spomer is actually, he's a Kyrgyz. He's from Kyrgyzstan, by the way.
He's not German.
Yeah, well, he says he doesn't consider himself either one. He considers himself a man of earth. It was pretty okay. Cool interview. He was a nice guy, but yeah, he's Kyrgyzstan, from Kyrgyzstan, but lives in trains out of Germany. Moved out of Kyrgyzstan when he was very young.
Nice.
But I thought it was a good test. I think it was definitely the most, probably on paper, the most difficult fight for Xander's career. But man, he boxed well. He showed great endurance, great conditioning, excellent jab. He went to the body. He stayed focused. He had a guy who could punch and was catching him a little bit, and he stayed focused. So I'm happy with his performance, and I think he's got a bright future.
What is he? How old is he? 20?
Xander's 22
years old, coming into his own, hot division. Could have,
Dude, did you see that he weighed?
Especially fighting Virgil Ortiz, and he got a kind of like a taste of that where he was kind of in the mix when, Bochuk, Madrimov, that whole thing happened. He'll get his shot. Like, he's playing the game right now with the WBO. Like, he'll get his shot. But I just think that his career is progressing very nicely, and he's been around forever. Like, signed at age 16. We've watched him fight for so long where it's almost – where he's not like a hot commodity anymore, Zayas. Like, we've seen him so many times on ESPN. But he's still progressing, which is very, very important. And I think he's peaking or about to begin peaking at the perfect age in the perfect division. So I'm very excited for him. Vito Milnecki, Conor Coyle, a draw. Milnecki at 160, maybe not the weight for him. Tough fight to watch. Opened up the ESPN card. I probably would have rather seen Abdullah Mason open up the card, but I don't work at Top Rank. But Vito is going to go back to the drawing board once again. First fight with Top Rank or first ESPN fight?
No, he's had a couple fights with Top Rank. I've actually called him. I think this is probably his third fight with Top Rank. I thought he won. It was competitive. It was back and forth at certain times. It got a little ugly at times, but I thought he finished strong enough that he edged it. Most people I think I saw online thought that Malnecki won. It wasn't a bad fight. But it definitely leaves a lot to be desired. He started out really strong, had some rough patches in the middle, and then kind of came on late. But it's a tough spot, man. You know, he's got a loss now. He's got a draw now. It was a step up in class, though, at least. But yeah, back to the drawing board. New weight class. Not sure he's going to be super effective at middleweight. But we'll see. I know he's coming back pretty soon. There was talks of him, I think, in June.
Oh, wow. Coming back. Be right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe 154. Like, it's tough, like, because he's growing. Like, the kid's big.
But he said he really can't make it. He's thick. Like, he's got thick legs. Yeah. And he said it was really hurting his performances with the weight. I mean, his gas tank looked good in this fight, but he just doesn't have the same pop that he had at 54. He could really bully guys.
Abdullah Mason KOs Manuel James. Oh, my God. This guy is electric. I love watching this dude fight. 20 years old, knockout power. People know his name now in boxing. They're calling for him. I would love to have seen him on the main ESPN card.
Dude, he fought Manuel Jaimes, who went the distance of Rolis his last fight at 140 on the undercard of Canelo. We were there and we got to see that. And the kid was in that fight. Like, he was tough. Rolis couldn't drop him. Abdullah drops him 3-4 times, puts him away. That kid kept trying to get up, kept trying to make it happen, but he just had nothing for Abdullah that night. And you know what I really am impressed about with Abdullah? You know, the last fight, obviously, he went down. And a lot of people are questioning his chin. I actually saw it as a good thing. I think we talked about it on the show before, because he goes down because of, you know, he's going for a certain shot, he's going for an uppercut up the rear hand, gets hit with a left hook on the chin, goes down, but then goes right back to that same thing, that like, no, okay, I'm going to get this done. I'm still going to get you. And he did. Drops the guy with the same combination, finishes him with a body shot. I saw the adjustments that he worked on in camp. That same uppercut that he was throwing in that last fight, now he had his right hand up. That left hook was not going to catch him. So those guys were working on things. They worked on the jab. They worked on hand positioning. I mean, I could not say better things about Abdullah Mason and what that team is doing with him. That kid is a star, and he's going to be around for a long time.
Star. Like I tweeted out that I'm excited for like the idea of boxing with Abdullah Mason leading it one day, mm-hmm. because I think he's that good. Like he goes for it, like you said. Yeah, he's got a great personality, looks the part, like knockout power, and you know, got the ESPN push. As long as that lasts with Top Rank, and we'll see what goes on with that. But
you should see his fighter meetings, man. He says all the right things, cool, calm, collected. For a young man to be that stoic and sure of what he's going to say, it's mind blowing. But you got to look at his family all around him, his brothers, his father. They're all like that. They're all locked in. They're all on the same page. They're all on the same team. It's really impressive to watch a unit like that, a family unit, work together
They do. Good to hear. Unfortunately, the opposite of that was Jared Anderson, his 10-round slog. Good gracious, that was just horrible. He just had the worst body language. As he was entering the ring, Tim Bradley was like, oh, this could be Jared's last fight with Top Rank. Obviously we know what happened with the Piccoli fight and everything with that. He goes 10 long grueling rounds, gets the win. And then there's this moment. I don't know if you picked up on this because you were calling the fight for international, so you wouldn't have heard what Tim Bradley said. They go to Jared Anderson in the corner, and his corner man is telling him, man, you're neglecting the body. Like you're throwing some great combination, but you're not throwing to the body at all. And Jared Anderson goes, man, you know I don't like to hit elbows. And Bradley just eviscerates it. And is like, what the hell was that? This guy doesn't want to be a boxer, crying about hitting elbows. And I just couldn't believe how bad Bradley didn't hold back at all. Like, he even mocked him in there. But that was a tough performance from Anderson. I don't know where he goes from here. Like, he's still only 26, but damn, that was tough.
Yeah, you know, with him, it's all mental. You know, he's got such physical gifts. And even while I was watching that fight, I'm like, man, this guy has fast hands. Jared is just, he is so athletic. You know, he's a good size. But I know for a fact, you know, he came in heavy. You know, you could see the extra weight around his midsection. I think it was a career high. I had heard that he only trained 3 weeks for the fight. He had a lot of out-of-the-ring issues that were affecting him. And that's what I mean by, you know, it always being in his head. Because physicality, he's got it. You know, but you got to get him in shape. You got to get his mind in the right place. You know, he's got his issues with Top Rank, and God knows what other issues he has outside of the ring. We've heard many stories, but it's a real shame. I really hope he can get it together, because he is a talented guy and a good guy too. I really like talking to him, and he's got so much promise. But man, if you can't get it right up here and in your personal life, it doesn't matter, man. It doesn't matter what kind of body you have. The sport's way too hard to not be 100% in.
Right, he always said he wanted to retire at 26. Like, he's 26 now. He's obviously, I mean, he might retire, but you know.
I saw a tweet from Steve Kim. He goes. He said he wanted to retire at 26. He goes, at this rate, he should retire at 25.
That's a Steve Kim tweet.
So brutal. So brutal.
I mean, yeah, he is kind of like a punching bag, Anderson. Pardon the pun. But yeah, he's only 26. You know, he did some good things in there, but. Generally looked unmotivated in there.
But that's what it was. There was flashes of his brilliance or flashes of his ability, I should say. But yeah, like you said, he looked bored. He looked like he didn't want to be there.
Yeah. Over on Saturday night, Arnold Barboza beat Jack Catterall. I wasn't too hyped for this fight to begin with, because these aren't exactly my favorite types of fighters in terms of styles. It was a decent fight. Barboza gets the win. He's now the mandatory for Teofimo. Catterall once again is going to bite himself. Is just going to look back and be like, what the hell? Just didn't throw enough punches. Barboza had a game plan. He executed it. Fun crowd. It was a decent fight. Like, I was kind of going in a little stinky on that one, but it ended up being a decent fight at 140. I don't think either of these guys are going to be a factor at 140 in terms of winning a title, but they're bit players, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, this was like two guys fighting each other that really nobody really wants to fight because they're good at making you look bad. That's pretty much what they're both good at. You know, Catterall had flashes where you're like, oh, this is because of the Prograi fight. You're like, oh, wow, this guy could be exciting. Nah, I just think that Prograi is shot. So that's why he, you know, Catterall looked the way he did. But both these guys are very disengaging normally. Cat tried to make the fight happen a little bit, but Barboza is really good at slowing things down and making, you know, slow output. And you can win rounds with a single punch. You know, that's the kind of fight that Barboza likes to make. So it's not going to be scintillating by any means. But the other guys in the weight class are so dynamic. I agree with you. It's going to be really hard for him to get a win against these other guys, you know, at the world-class level. But we'll see where this goes. I mean, Barboza has a legit claim now to call out Teofimo Lopez. He is
calling him out for years.
He has been calling him out for years, but now he's got a piece of hardware that if Tio avoids him, this guy becomes world champion, you know, via email. Yeah. So does Tio want to give up that belt and give it to this guy who apparently he doesn't like? I don't know whatever happened to the days you don't like a guy, you go try and fight him. But if we don't
I think
do that,
Tio's got he's got his sights set on bigger fights, yeah. Alcatraz.
Calling out Crawford, calling out Jerron Ennis. But, dude, just go fight this kid. Go.
He's all over the place, man. I know. All over the place. Hitchens, the other champion, 140. Puelo, who's fighting Sandor Martin on March 1st. Rayo, who's fighting Gary Russell on March 1st. You got Barboza in the mix. You got Dalton Smith out of the UK, who I believe they're promoting him. WBC is, like, pushing him really hard. 140 is starting to settle out, but nice win for Barboza. Crazy crowd too. Like, it's wild. It just shows you the difference between US and UK fans that like 10,000 people showed up and were going crazy for Jack Catterall, who's not like the most exciting fighter in the world.
Yeah, but he's popular. He is popular. I know. That's why the fights keep getting pulled over there. But I've said this a million times. The fans over there are different. They understand boxers more. They understand boxing. They don't care about the knockouts as much as American fans do. They're not totally obsessed with it. They understand a tactician like a Jack Catterall who will go out there and he'll use a 1-1-2 and a 1-2 and fight for 12 rounds like that. Very, very different fan base out there. They have a different understanding of the sport.
No, that's why Barboza went there. And I was like thinking in my head, I was going to bet on this, but I didn't. I was thinking, oh, wow, like this Barboza is not going to get a decision here. Barboza gets the win. He now is going to move on. Catterall goes back to the drawing board. Tough for him, but should have threw more punches. Saturday night, Oscar Duarte and Madueno. Duarte is a beast. This guy throws with bad intentions. Definitely want to see him continue to fight. That Ryan Garcia win over Duarte is aging pretty nicely.
Yeah, I got a chance to talk to Robert Garcia, who trains Oscar Duarte for his last three fights yesterday. And I was asking him about this kid. I'm like, this guy came out of nowhere and is like a player. Dude, he stops Jojo Diaz. You know, he put up a good fight against Ryan. You know, he got stopped ultimately, was in over his head in terms of talent, size, and you know, profile. But then comes back and stops Jojo Diaz. Beats what is that guy's name?
Akhmadov,
Batur
in Akhmadov, November,
who's a super tough guy, not an easy guy to look good against, but he's fought for the title a bunch of times, keeps losing. He's a hard luck case, but still very, very tough. And then he comes in and stops Madueno in devastating fashion, a guy that just went 10 rounds with Keyshawn Davis and pushed him, you know, to what even Keyshawn said was his toughest fight thus far. So Madueno just beat Justin Paldo, who looked fantastic a couple weeks ago on a Pro Box TV card. So, yeah, all of these fights and all these wins and even his loss are aging really well. Oscar Duarte is, he's a player. He's a player.
Yeah, he's got two losses, one to Adrian Estrella in 2019 and then the loss to Ryan Garcia in 2023.
Both of which before he hooked up with Robert.
Right. So now he's with Robert Garcia. He's just like a fun fighter, and there's room for that. Like, and Golden Boy is really good at promoting fun fighters like that. And, you know, he's got the Mexican heritage too. So Golden Boy is really good with that. How about Oscar Duarte versus Isaac Cruz at 140?
Ooh. I mean, I think he's way too big, but that's a fun fight. They're going to bang away. Both of them just throw haymakers and throw tons of punches. I like it.
That would be a fun.
I like Duarte with any of those guys, though. I mean, he's not going to fight Ryo because, you know, they're basically stablemates now. But him and Matias, how about that?
Oof.
How about Duarte and Subriel Matias? If Matias can get back by Valenzuela in his next fight, which
Rock is an amazing Sock'em Robots.
Yeah.
That is all the fights in this past weekend. It was a busy one. But it's not going to be as busy as this upcoming weekend. February 22nd is fastly approaching. The last crescendo, the card of the century. I'm going over my notes right now, and it's just crazy. I can't, like, I think it's starting at 11 a.m. Eastern, like the pay-per-view portion. Like the first legit fight, like Boazzi versus Callum Smith. I could be wrong, but like the first pay-per-view fight is going to be at 11 a.m. Eastern.
And it's a good fight.
And it's a good fight.
It's a good fight. That's crazy. Right. Yeah, no, this, we're going to do a big rollout on this on our next show. But yeah,
I have an idea.
This is a tremendous card. And is this the card that we said, like, on paper is the best of all time?
Yes.
Is that what we said? That's what we said. Yeah,
better be of Bivol, Floyd, Schofield, and Shakur.
We've been talking about it for so long, I'm forgetting. You know, that's one, yes, that's one good thing about Turkey and the Riyadh season. Like, we have a lot of time leading up to these events. Like, they're booked in advance. Like, that's not, yeah, that's kind of rare these days, oddly enough. Kind of goes back to the days of old. So we're getting that once again because of Riyadh, which is good because we have a lot of time to talk about these great fights and great cards like this one.
Yeah, I think we're gonna have to get crafty with it because we're gonna preview 7 fights. I don't think we've ever done that on an episode, but I have an idea to do like a clock. We'll have maybe 6 or 7 minutes, and mm-hmm, we'll have categories, and we'll rifle through odds, what to watch for, prediction, key stat, record, Dan, and all that.
Everybody at home, Dan thinks outside of the box. That's why he's a numbers guy. He's very pragmatic from that perspective. So
just trying to bring you guys the best boxing podcast in the history of
the
world.
Yes, we don't ramble on for 2 hours and you guys are like, what are they talking
about? Keep it tight, keep it short, keep it tight. I'm sorry that we didn't have a show at the end of last week. I'm sorry that the show was delayed this week, but life gets in the way sometimes. Your immune system breaks down and you are forced to lay on your couch in New York City and stare out the window while all your friends...
And send pictures of your IV to Chris Algieri.
I did get an IV. They came to the apartment, spent God knows how much money on that, and it did nothing.
Nothing.
It did nothing. I got the stupid... I went on, Googled IV. They come to your apartment. They, you know, I felt amazing for like 2 hours after. I felt like I run through a wall 2 hours after. And then went back to having a fever and being like, yeah, just generally. Like,
yeah,
exactly. But I'm back, yeah,
you sent me that picture and you're like, all right, I'm taking tonight off. I'm gonna make it for the fight tomorrow. And then the day of the fight, I text you. I'm like, hey, man, how you feeling? Guys, took him like 2-3 hours to answer me. He's like, I'm still down, bro. And I was like, damn. All right.
I couldn't even think about being around people at the Garden. Like, so many people texted me too, like fans and friends and stuff. That was tough, but I'm back.
You did
I'm
the
back.
World a favor.
Yeah, I don't want to get anyone else sick.
Dude, I didn't go to Keens because you weren't around. I didn't go.
Keens is awesome. Man, I want Keens to get back awesome. To Keens. All right. Enjoy Pro Box on Wednesday night in Sacramento. We'll be back sometime early, either Thursday or Friday. We'll have this big rollout, this giant February 22nd preview show. Other than that, that's it, everybody. Hope you have a good one. Check yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of the DMs.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel, because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.